The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing hook is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. For the last couple of weeks, I have enjoyed running around saying, "You brood of vipers," every chance I can get. Then I move into the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. There is a certain amount of dark humor and joyfulness to be found in John's exhortations to the crowds of people who had followed him into the wilderness to hear him and to be baptized by him. For me, part of the humor comes from the use of strong words we just don't use anymore. When was the last time you called someone a viper or talked about chaff, or said the word unquenchable? What's most likely even more funny to our ears is the bizarre twist that it was acceptable for John to name call and threaten those he was about to baptize in order to get his point across. Finding the humorous underbelly in this passage is probably a little easier than finding joy. Where in the world is joy to be found in a reading that calls us children of vipers and threatens that wrath is coming our way if we don't behave? The first hint of joy for me is in the assurance that everyone is capable of continued character development and spiritual growth. With God's help, we can become more responsive to the suffering of others. With God's help, we are capable of shedding our notions of what makes us valuable to other human beings and to God, our religious identity, our position, our pedigree, our education, our talents, and open up to becoming something much more, something more akin to a healthy, mature tree with a solid root structure and strong branches that stretch for the sun, and yes, one that generates great, tasty fruit. The second breaking in of joy for me is the understanding that good fruit from a healthy tree is actually a deep longing to live a life of faithfulness reminiscent of Abraham and Sarah rather than a set of acts to perform. Good fruit conceived as a deep longing to live a life of faithfulness can be an especially enjoyable thought during this Advent season. Many of us tend to blow past Advent in our busyness to eagerly prepare for Christmas rather than patiently, expectantly, and longingly preparing our hearts for newness of life and an ever deeper relationship with Jesus. The crowds, the tax collectors, and the soldiers all pleaded, "What then should we do to avoid the wrath of God? What then should we do to be faithful?" Notice that each received an answer according to his or her unique role in society. Many of John the Baptist's instructions are practical. Share the necessities of life with others when you can. Be fair. Don't be selfish. Be generous. Do not abuse your personal power. We all can participate as we are able, but not all of us are tax collectors or soldiers with specialized expertise. Recently, I and others from St. Cross were able to explore the diversity of what constitutes good fruit when we attended a retreat entitled Sacred Resistance, Hearts Broken Open. Our own sister, Patricia Sarah, was one of the organizers and presenters. The retreat provided a safe space to build community between activists and contemplatives, both of whom long for justice in our time. Is one better than the other? Are we inadequate if we are a contemplative or prayer warrior, but not on the street protesting? Through various activities, we were able to more clearly see that our spiritual lives are intertwined. We are most likely not just one or the other, and that it is faithfulness that really matters. It is the glue that connects us to do the work given us, whatever form that work takes. I discovered once again that trying to live a faithful life isn't always simple or easy. For example, I started reading this week's offering a couple weeks ago in anticipation of my commitment to babysitting my 11-month-old great-niece. I figured I could get my sermon done really, really early, attend to church concerns that arose, do lots of online shopping so I don't get too far behind, try to remember what an 11-month-old required, try that one on for size after that many years, and then relax and enjoy San Diego and Long Beach with baby Cece. And as they say, God laughed. Into my wishful thinking arrived two boys, my nephews from Chico, who needed a safe place to be for security and for love, as their mother worked tirelessly to aid displaced children and families from the campfire. All of my best laid, self-sufficient plans were laid to waste as I found myself on the 710 South on the way to the aquarium saying, "You brood of vipers!" Mostly to the lines of speeding trucks, occasionally to the two in the back seat who were poking each other and driving me crazy. And then there was all the intermittent screaming, and it was like I thought I was going to go insane. So the next occasion for joy is particularly important for me. It can be found in the promise that the one who is coming, the one who ushers in the kingdom of God, has a winnowing hook in his hand. I know you might find that surprising. Why? That's an occasion for joy. But he has a winnowing fork in his hand, and he will be very, very busy separating the wheat from the chaff and then burning the heck out of the chaff. Now, why in the world is this an occasion for joy? Am I chaff because I haven't borne tasty enough fruit, or my roots are still a little weak? Am I chaff because I am not very good at sharing yet, or I have control issues? Stop it now. Or I proclaim, "You brood of vipers," as my mind churns about what needs to get done. A little help from Wikipedia goes a long way. You see, winnowing with a fork takes place after the grain is harvested and in a big pile. The tool separates the nutrient-rich grain from that which has less value. It's not that it has no value, for it is used in animal feed. All of the grain is harvested, including the chaff, that has probably served us well at some point in our lives, but is no longer needed or is impeding our character development or spiritual growth in some way. It is a cause for joy that all of who we are, the wheat and the chaff, are loved and cherished by God. It is a cause for joy that none of our life experiences are ever wasted, but that which is no longer life-giving is removed, winnowed out, it's purified. In my recent case, I am reminded that we are not in charge, that we are not self-sufficient, that we need not fear, for all that is truly necessary will be accomplished, that we are not alone, that opportunities are presented by God in every moment, so if we miss one, God will provide another avenue, and that we are constantly invited to live into a joyful life. So it makes sense that all our other readings today encourage us to live joyfully. Rejoice! Rejoice with all your heart. Ring out with joy. Rejoice, for the Lord is near. Joy is not to be confused with a state of happiness or contentment. It is much deeper than that. It is a spiritual gift that comes from our assurance that we can grow into a healthy, mature tree able to feed others. It comes from our understanding that there are many different tasty fruits with a huge variety of flavors, and it is our lives lived faithfully that matters to God. Joy comes from our expectation, and especially our longing for Christ to enter into our very being and animate us toward living faithfully. Joy enters when we live in the knowledge that we are precious to God. Turning daily toward the light of Christ is the fertile ground where our tree will grow its strongest roots. We cease to be a brood of vipers and start living steeped in joy and the produce that comes from it, the really, really good fruit. Thanks be to God.
Amen.